So Isaiah 41, we already saw Isaiah 40, where God kind of changed the tone of the book and began to look more forward. Started there with the introduction of John the Baptist, a reaffirmation of God's word being eternal, and then the person of the Lord. And that theme continues here in chapter 41, beginning this evening in verse 8 of Isaiah. The Bible says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel." So I've entitled the message, "I Am With Thee." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to help out Brother Anger's ministry. And we thank you, Lord, for the great things you're doing through the Ontaros there in Indonesia. Please continue to protect and bless their ministry. And we thank you for the privilege to come together this evening and to open your word and to hear from you. And we pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit will now take the word and apply it to our hearts and use it in our lives mightily. May we leave this place knowing we've been changed by you. We love you so much and commit all this to you in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So you know that God here is primarily speaking to Israel, and we understand that, but at the same time, we are also a God servant. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we became His servant. We became part of His family. And we can now claim these blessings that God has promised to His servants, to His children. Now, that doesn't make us Israel, and it doesn't mean we supplant Israel, but it does make God our Father, and it does make us His children through Jesus Christ. Now, if you notice, God mentions Abraham specifically there in verse 8 as my friend. Do you know how few people in the Bible God uses that term for? Go home and study it. I'm not going to give you the number, but it all fits on one hand. How many times God refers to a specific person as His friend? And Abraham is one of those people. But folks, the Bible says in John chapter 15 that once we're Christians and once we decide to be obedient Christians, we become God's friends. Now, everybody is God's creation, but not everybody is God's child. Once you're born again, we're all God's children, but that doesn't make us all His friends. But Jesus said in John 15, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And so for us, it comes down to obedience. You're my friends. Well, I would hope it to be our desire to be God's friend as Abraham was God's friend. And we see in Abraham this desire to obey, this desire to trust God and go forward for the cause of the Lord. That's what God wants from us. And He promises that as our friend, He will be with us. And that is the theme that He's really pushing in this passage, is that He is with His children. He kept saying, "I am with thee. Fear not, fear not. Be not dismayed. Fear thou not." Why? Because God's on our side. We have God with us now. And I like what He said Now, understand that God here is speaking collectively, nationally to Israel. But he said in verse 9, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Now, we can look at Israel and say for the past 2,500 years, they've been through a lot of strife. And a lot of them have been killed. A lot of them have rejected Jesus Christ. But collectively as a nation, God has never completely forsaken them. And he won't. Remember when we walked through the Old Testament, looked at all the prophecies, all these promises that God made to Israel, that he's not finished with them, that they will get their land, that they will get their kingdom, that all those promises will be fulfilled that began in Genesis chapter 12. He will not cast them away. Well, you know what? Once we become a child of God, he will not cast us away. John chapter 6, verse 37, the Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God will not cast his children away, and we're grateful for that. So notice here in verse 10, he says, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Go to Psalm 118, if you would, verse 6. We as God's children, you know, as we were reminded of this morning, are going to face trials and tribulations. And there can be the temptation to be afraid. But fear for a Christian is unacceptable to God, because God has promised his presence. And if God is with us, and if God's the creator of the universe and can do anything, then what do we have to fear? Notice Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Doesn't the Bible say in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. If we're born again, if we're his children, he is for us. And he, this phrase, fear thou not or fear not, God kept saying it to Israel prior to going into the promised land. Then after the 40 years of wandering, he said it again to Israel. He said it to Moses. He said it to Joshua. And he kept saying it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He says the same to us. Don't be afraid. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. That word dismayed means to be nervous or anxious. And we know what Paul says, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4:6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God says, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. In other words, don't be anxious or nervous about anything, because God is on our side. So we don't have to fear. We don't have to be nervous or anxious. And then he goes on to say, and I will strengthen thee. Where does our strength come from? The Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's our strength. He says, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, if you would go to Psalm 37, the Bible teaches that sometimes God's children may stumble. And if you've been saved, maybe you've stumbled. God says he will uphold us. Sometimes we stumble, but God promised that we can never completely fall. And that's exciting. Notice Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God's promised to uphold us. And we know the many, many promises that we are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are sealed under the day of redemption and so forth, that we're God's children. So God says, I won't. You don't need to fear. You don't need to be nervous, because I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. And I'm going to uphold you. It sounds like we have no reason to fear or be nervous or anxious. And that when we do show those traits, it doesn't make God happy. because it manifests itself, as we mentioned this morning, in complaining, murmuring, frustration. When Israel was first delivered from Egypt after all these miracles, they saw these miracles performed. They saw the death angel come through. They saw their homes protected by the blood. And then God brings them to the border of the Red Sea. And rather than looking back and saying, we serve a miracle-working God, He's on our side, they said, God brought us out here to kill us. Fear, which resulted in murmuring. They finally get across the Red Sea, and there's no water to drink. God brought us out here to kill us. Nothing to eat. God brought us out here to kill us. They kept saying it over and over again. We have nothing to fear because God has promised to strengthen and help and uphold us. He is with us. Verse 13, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Go to Psalm 32, if you would, verse 8. I will hold thy right hand. I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful for that. That He's always there, guiding us, protecting us, upholding us. Literally, you can picture a parent holding their child's hand, like walking across the street. And God does that for us. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Of course, when things are going good, what do we want to do but let go of God's hand? I can do this on my own. And then we fall down and God picks us back up. God says, I'll hold your hand. I will uphold you. I will protect you. I'll watch over you. Because I am the Lord thy God. I am Jehovah. All caps, L-O-R-D. I am Jehovah. I can do anything and I'm on your side. I am your Father. In verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Just in case they might have forgotten, he just wanted to remind them that they are sinners. He says, thy worm Jacob. If it wasn't for God, what would we be but people on their way to hell? But what has He done? He's redeemed us. As he said there in verse 14, I am thy Redeemer. God's the one that bought us back from the devil with His blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And so what does God want from us? Verse 10, He doesn't want us to fear. He doesn't want us to be nervous or anxious. And then notice in verse 16, instead, He says, thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice. So God doesn't want us to go through this life being afraid or being nervous or anxious about the things that come our way. He wants us instead to be constantly rejoicing. Like, again, we saw from the life of Job this morning. Job chose how he was going to respond to the suffering that came into his life, acknowledging that God was in control, God was watching over him, and that God is always worthy of our praise. He says, thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. So what did Paul write us from prison in Philippians 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. While he's sitting in those prisons weren't very nice. Sitting in the stocks, telling us we need to rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, to all to the glory of God. So God says, you're going to have trials. If it weren't for me, you'd be nothing because you're just a worm. But I'm your Redeemer and I've saved you and I'm on your side. I've chosen you. And by the way, if you're born again, He has chosen you. Therefore, I don't want you to fear. I don't want you to stress out or be anxious. I want you to rejoice. And I want you, the second part of verse 16, to glory in me. And ultimately, you know, that's why we're here. To bring glory to Him. We are here to lift Him up and bring Him glory. Say, well, I thought we were here to witness. Absolutely. And when we witness, we are lifting Him up and bringing Him glory. And when we live for Him, we're lifting Him up and bringing Him glory. When we praise Him, when we praise Him for His goodness to us, for His Word, we're lifting Him up and bringing Him glory. And that's why we're here, to bring glory to God. And so God is just encouraging His children here because He knows what they're about to go through. Now, this was written about 400, 500 years before Jesus. It hasn't been pleasant for Israel since. But He's reminding them nationally, I'm still with you. It's not over. And He reminds us, I'm with you. You're going to face some trials too. We are. We're going to face tribulations and trials from now until we die. But God's with us. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is on our side. He's with us. We don't have to fear. We don't have to get stressed out or nervous about anything. Let's instead go through life rejoicing and praising and glorifying God. Again, it's just like with Job. It's our choice. What we choose to do with our lives day by day, in the midst of the fire that we face, how are we going to respond to that? Are we going to be in despair, be despondent? Or are we going to trust God, rejoice, and praise Him? It's up to us. The circumstances are going to be the same either way. It's how we choose to respond to those circumstances. So God reminding us that He is our God, He is our Redeemer. Hopefully we're living obedient Christian lives and He's our friend. And that because of those things, we have nothing to fear. Because He will strengthen us, He will help us, He will uphold us. And He wants us to go through life trusting Him, rejoicing in Him, and glorifying Him. Just think what a difference it'll make in our Christian lives if that's our focus. Glory to Him. Praise to Him. Rejoicing in Him. Rejoicing in all that He does and is for us. No matter what comes our way, just praise Him and rejoice in Him and glorify Him. And you know what the result will be? Well, first of all, it'll be peace in our hearts. Second, it'll be a much more pleasant Christian life, independent of the circumstances. So remember, God says to them and to us, I am with thee. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you.